very appropriate song, not necessarily for the message, but if you are here today and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, one day, if you don't take care of that while you're here on earth, one day that will be a question, or that will be your question, why didn't I? Well, we're going to be back in Philippians chapter 3 this morning, and we are going to be covering verses 15 through 21, at least that's my goal. Philippians 3, verses 15 through 21. Lord, I pray that you'd help us as we go through these verses, help us to see them as your word that is helpful to us. I pray that we would apply them to our hearts and to our lives. Pray that we would use them to grow to be more like Christ. And we ask these things in his name. Amen. Verse number 15 says, "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk as ye have, as ye have us for an example." An example. So let's just work on those verses first, verses 15 through 17. Paul says, "Let us therefore," which means as we go forward, we have to consider what Paul has already said in the previous parts of chapter 3. So we need to, as we're looking forward, we still need to be looking backward. And I was trying to figure out how to summarize chapter 3. It's hard to summarize. There is so much packed into chapter 3. But I'm just going to give a really quick review. Paul's rejoicing was in Christ Jesus, not in his flesh. He knew that his salvation was not based upon works, but in Christ's work on the cross. Paul understood that all he had been doing, all he'd been counting on for his salvation, all the works, all the things he had been doing to that he thought was making him right with God, he turned to the point where he realized those things were rubbish, and instead, and get to the point where he realized all those things he'd done in the flesh, he had now had to let them go and was now trusting in Jesus Christ. A couple of verses that I really think are important. Verse 9 says, "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." He says he wants to be found in him, not in his own righteousness. He wants to be make sure his righteousness is based in Jesus Christ. "And that I may know him." Verse 10 says he wants to know him. As I spoke on that in the past, I was like, just imagine. Paul, who wrote much of the New Testament, says his desire was to know Christ even more. To know him more. "That I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." So he wanted to be found in him. He wanted to know him. Even though Paul was a mature Christian, he understood that he needed to continually press toward the mark for the prize. Verse 14, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." He realized that he couldn't just stop. Even though he was mature, he realized he had to keep going. He had to keep maturing to become more like Jesus Christ. He wanted to know him more. And so he goes on then, "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded." If you carry a different translation, it probably says mature. If for as many of us as are mature, if you're a mature Christian, you might say. And there's different standards on what people might consider mature. Let me ask yourself, do you consider yourself to be a mature Christian? Do you consider yourself to be mature? Our true standard of maturity, the only one that we really have, well, is Jesus Christ, but is what? What did he give us that we can measure our maturity based upon? He gave us the Word of God. If we're going to say whether or not we're mature or not, it would be based upon the Word of God. Do we measure up to what a mature Christian would look like in the Scriptures? So do you consider yourself mature? Paul says, if you consider yourself to be mature, you should have the same mind. Let us therefore, as many as be mature, be thus minded. In other words, have the same mind. Mature Christians shouldn't be all over the board. I'm not saying that everybody's going to think exactly the same thing, but mature Christians, if we're all following the Scripture, should have certain identifying factors that should look the same. If we're all following the same book, we should look the same if we're mature. Because he says here, if you're mature, let us have thus minded, the same mind that he had, and that is part of what we saw in chapter 3. Part of that is, I count not myself to have apprehended. Mature Christians say, I'm not there yet. I need to keep working. I need to keep working. We need to think like Paul. Mature Christians understand their need for lifelong striving for Christ-likeness. Mature Christians do not then become complacent. Mature Christians do not become complacent where they are. No matter where you're at in your Christian life, if you're mature, you're not happy with where you're at. There's always more to do to become Christ-like. I'm not talking about being an unhappy person, but I'm talking about a mature Christian is going to say, I always need to keep becoming more like Christ. That's part of maturity in Christ, is having the same mind as Paul. And his goal was, I got to keep striving. I got to keep reaching for the goal. I got to keep going. So now when I ask the question, are you a mature Christian? That's one of the aspects of a mature Christian is just like, I just have to keep growing. I can never be complacent. I never can get to the point where I say, I've learned enough. I know I've told this story before, but the deacon that moved up to the Upper Peninsula, the Holy Land. Has anybody ever been to the Holy Land, the Upper Peninsula of Michigan? You know, he moved up there to retire. And this pastor knocked on his door and, you just moved here. You're a deacon in a good church down there. Oh, great. Well, we'd love to have you come to our church. Well, no, wait a second. I retired. And he retired from church. And he retired from being a deacon. And he became complacent. No, I'm done now. That's a sure sign that he's not a mature Christian. He may have acted like a mature Christian at one time in his life, but he's not a mature Christian because he says, I'm done. I'm retired. When I retired from whatever job, probably General Motors or something, when I retired from that job, I retired from my work as a Christian as well. A sure sign he wasn't mature. There were some who did not think like Paul. Just like today, there are those factions. Paul had an answer for that. It wasn't that it's okay to not think like me. Paul didn't say it's okay if you don't think like me. He didn't say that. Notice he says, if let us as many as be perfect be thus minded, and if anything you be otherwise minded, God will reveal to you that you're wrong. God will reveal to you where you need to change your thinking. See, if you're a mature Christian, and you're striving to know what God's will is in the matter, or striving to know God in His Word, and you're not thinking like Paul thought, and if you're a mature Christian, you're striving to, you want to know, God will reveal it. God will show us where we're wrong in our thinking. How many of you think that there's some area that you're wrong in your thinking? I believe there's some area I'm wrong in my thinking. You know what? I've been a pastor. There's certain things I used to think this is the way it is. I was taught it in Bible college or something, and I used to think this is it. And as I studied and matured in my Christian life, I came to the point where I thought, I'm not so sure I believe that anymore. And some things I came to the point where I've changed my thinking. That's God who does that. But we can only do those, we can only have that type of maturity and growth if we're open to God changing our mind on certain things. I'm not saying we should be so open-minded that we're just willing to change everything. But when we dig into the Word of God and it points out things and it's like, that just doesn't seem to harmonize with what I've been taught, we need to be willing to at least consider and pray and ask God, God, are you trying to change my heart in this matter? As a pastor, I can only present the truth. It takes God, really, the Holy Spirit. If you think something different, it takes Him to change your mind. He says, verse 16, nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let's walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Wherever you are in your walk with the Lord, let us walk by the same rule. Where it says, nevertheless, whereunto you have attained, means to come to a certain point. You've come to a certain point in your Christian life. If you were to take all of us in here, and if there was some way, there's no real way to exactly measure it, but if you were to measure where we are at in our Christian lives, and if God had a tape measure He could put out here, He could put us each in a different area of maturity in our Christian walk. If I'm going to go on a trip, my pastor's conference is in Ankeny, Iowa. Leaving tomorrow after we take Nick to the airport, then I'm leaving for Ankeny. When I go on trips, a lot of times I take a GPS. And sometimes I don't want to go the route that it tells me it wants, because it wants me to go right through Chicago, kind of, right on the bottom part. And I hate the bottom part of Chicago, especially in a small car, and there's like five lanes of big trucks. And it's like, I don't like driving through there. I've done that enough. I just don't want to go there. So you know what I'll tell my GPS? I have a waypoint. I have a place that I want to go to that's going to take me the way direction I want to go. It's a waypoint. And I have an ultimate destination, but there's waypoints along the way. All of us in our Christian life should have an ultimate destination to be Christ-like. But there's steps along the way that we have to attain. And it says, we have already, you've attained this. You're at this point of maturity. Whereunto you've already attained, you've already got to this point. Everybody probably at a little different place in our Christian lives. But whereunto you've already attained, wherever you're at on your waypoint, he says, nevertheless, whereunto you've already attained, let us walk by the same rule. We're all at different stages of maturity in our Christian walk. There has to be a way of measuring it, and the rule is a means of measuring. In Paul's day, construction guys, how would you like this? You know, they had just a rod or a reed, and they tried to cut them to all the same length. So when you went to build a building, you would use a reed. Not a measuring tape, a reed. What would happen if you used a reed for a long time? A reed isn't a super hard thing. It would start to wear down, wouldn't it? It wouldn't stay the same. What if somebody else's reed was a little bit different than your reed? What if you had 10 contractors come together and everybody's reed, this guy's reed was half inch shorter, and this guy's reed was an inch longer, and this guy's reed was... You get them all together, they could be the best contractors in the world. But if all their reeds were not the same, it would make building not very good. Well, the rule here that he's talking about is that reed, that measuring stick. Today, thankfully, we have tape measures. And if you get 10 different tape measures, 10 feet is probably always going to be 10 feet, unless you buy something really cheap. 10 feet's always going to be 10 feet. It's always the same. It's possible in Paul's day that you'd have two different sticks, two different measures, measuring reeds. Paul says that we must walk by the same rule. In other words, if you're gonna put up a building, you all have to make sure back in his day you have the same rule. You have to go and measure them all at the beginning to make sure they're all the same. You know, it's really hard to do today, to have the same rule. We have the same Word of God. We have that. But it's really hard to have the same rule, the same measuring stick, because in our society, there are hundreds of different teachers with different rules, at least interpreting the rules differently. You know, in Lima alone, that small town just over here, is it that way? Yeah, it's kind of that way. Somewhere over there, somewhere out there. Guess about how many churches there are in Lima? Anybody have a guess? 30. Now, that's probably Lima and the surrounding, you know, city, but there was over 100. Over 100 different listings. Now, some of those may be really small, but there was over 100 different listings. Now, I'm talking anybody who calls themselves Christian. What does that tell you about how many rules there are out there? How many interpretations of the rules there are out there? Most of them are teaching different doctrine. There's a reason why there's so many different churches, because there's different doctrines. Some of them are close to the same. We have fellowship with some of the churches sometimes that are close to us. But even them, they, if you went to them long enough, you'd say, well, they're a little different in this way than us. If you go onto the internet, how many different rules will you find? How many different measurements of what to believe will you find? Thousands and thousands of different people saying different things. The internet is a great repository for information. It's a place I use the internet often just to look up terms or look up some person in history. I may not use it in my sermon, but a lot of times I'll use it just to research for illustrations and things. But we have to use it with discernment. It's good to know who's giving out the information. A lot of people just go, they see a title on there and they go to this person and they click on it because that title is something they're interested in. And then they go and listen to it. I've gone to something because I'm looking for a certain thing. I'm trying to do some research for a sermon. And I click on something, and I start listening to the guy, and it's like, I think this guy's maybe a little off. And then I go looking down, which I probably should have done to begin with, Seventh-day Adventist. He was preaching on a topic that I thought was interesting, but his rules are going to be completely different than mine. You can go on there. I've gone on there and looked under certain topics, and that one looks interesting. I go look at it. Church of the Latter-day Saints of Jesus Christ. It's Mormon. There's a lot of information out there that we can get sucked into that's going to lead us astray, and all of a sudden we're not walking by the same rule anymore. And the only rule that we can really go by to make sure that everything is the same is, Paul says, follow me. We ought to walk by the same rule, and that's the Word of God. But the problem is, there are so many people out there that are going to tell you so many different things about what the Word of God says. In the past, when a pastor became a pastor, now not every time, but most of the time when a pastor went into the ministry, he was recognized by his local church. He's sent off to a Bible college that teaches a certain thing. He goes to seminary that teaches a certain thing. He comes back and he's ordained by that church. It means they've questioned him and found he believes a certain thing. And then he's sent out to a ministry, but he's already gone through all these filters to know that he is going to teach what independent Baptists believe. Now, I'm not saying you can't get some guy who goes off in a different direction. But there's all these filters. When you go on the internet, how many filters are there for that type of thing? They're not. You can go out there and find so many different measuring sticks. And I'm not saying you shouldn't go because there's some very profitable stuff there. But you should filter everything that you go to. Find out what type of denomination is this guy from? What type of a background does he have? I ask other pastors who they listen to. I say, who are some guys that you listen to? And I know guys that I know from the past. What am I doing? I'm filtering through. I try and find good other guys to listen to because I like listening to sermons. I like spending that time. But I filter those things. And we're not going to walk by the same rule if we're not filtering some of those things, what people are saying, because there's so many different beliefs out there. So let me ask you a question. Are you discerning in who you listen to? You got to be discerning. And are you discerning in what you believe? Paul says, nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. He says, brethren, be followers together of me. So he says, there is somebody you can follow, and that's me, he says. Not speaking of me, Paul. Follow Paul. Follow me, he says. Now, we can't walk with Paul today like they did, but since Paul wrote much of the New Testament, if we spend enough time in his epistles, what are we going to know? We're going to know how to follow him, and we're going to know what rule he walked by. How many of you think, when we're talking about maturity, how many of us could say we're doing everything that Paul wrote perfectly? We need to keep going. We need to keep pressing on toward maturity. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 11:1, be ye followers of me, even as I am also of Christ. So Paul continually said, follow me. If you want to be a mature Christian, follow Paul. Know what he said and follow it. Oh, I have a lot of work to do in that. I have a lot of work to go in following Paul. Even though I a lot of times know what I should do, I don't do it. And then he says another thing here. He says, brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so ye have us for an example. So he says, not just follow me, follow us. He says, mark them. Mark other people. There are others who can look to and follow their example. If you find other men and women who walk like Paul, mark them. Look upon them. Now, let me say something. You're not going to find anybody that's perfect. So, our tendency is to look at somebody and say, well, I could see their flaw here, or I can see their flaw there, so I'm not going to follow them. Well, if that's the case, Paul wouldn't be... If you said you only could follow perfect people, how many of you parents can get your kids to follow you? I would bet that any of the kids that are in here could look at their parents, and if we ask, we're not going to ask you to identify any of your parents' faults or sins, but any of the kids could point out there's faults or sins in their parents' lives. My kids could tell you faults or sins. And Nick could tell you. He could, don't ask him. He wouldn't tell you, I don't think. But Nick could tell you, my wife and I's, you know, he sees us in the house every day. But that doesn't mean he doesn't follow us. Kids, just because you've seen your parents' imperfections doesn't mean you don't follow them, because you know that for the most part, most kids can look at their parents and say, they are doing what's right. Even though I see their faults, they are doing what's right. God doesn't only call us to follow perfect people. David could not have been a leader of the Israelites if God said only follow perfect people. Paul could not have been Peter, Abram. You look at all the people in Scripture and you can't find a perfect person to follow. So God isn't saying follow perfect people. Paul isn't saying only follow perfect people. He's saying follow those people that walk like I, Paul, do. And there was a broader group of people, say Timothy and others, he said, you can follow these people. They're not perfect, but for the most part, they are living a mature Christian life. So let me ask you a question. Who are you following? Young people, this is important. Anybody under the age of 25? Trying to get your attention here. Anybody under the age of 25, who are you following? Who are the people that you're spending time with? Who are the people that you hang out with? Are they like Paul? Are they a good Christian example? Are they may not be super mature because they're just kids. Under 25, you're just kids still. But who are you following? It's important to realize that we need to follow people like Paul. And people that are like Paul. Who are the people in your life that when they take you someplace, you know it's good. I had some friends in my younger life, in my young teenage life. Every time I did something with those guys, I got in trouble. And it seems like, I don't know how they always, sometimes I was in trouble before I ever knew I was in trouble with these guys. It's like all of a sudden I realize somebody's chasing us. Why are they chasing us? Well, it's something they did, you know. So they were not the right type of guys to hang out with. Did you ever have anybody that whenever you hang out with them, you kind of get in trouble? It's probably not the best person to be hanging around with. Who are you following? It takes discernment to know who to follow. Who do you look up to in the church? Many Christians fall into the trap of Satan here. It's popular with Christians to say, I can't judge my brother. You can't judge anybody. How do you mark somebody if you don't make a judgment call? How do you mark somebody if you're not making a judgment call? You have to judge people to mark them. Mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. In other words, you have to judge, you have to discern what type of a character does that person have. Are they walking like Christ? Are they walking like Paul? So what are some of the characteristics in Paul's life that we should be looking for in others? And I'm going to do something I normally don't do in a message. I'm walking down here. Don't get scared. I want you to answer. What are some characteristics that were in Paul's life that we need to look at or be looking for in not only our friends, but in other people of the church? If we're going to discern who we're going to follow, what are some of those characteristics that Paul had? I'm talking major characteristics here. What did he spend his time doing? What are some major characteristics in Paul's life? He's saying, follow me. He was a witness. He was a gospel witness. So if we're looking for people to emulate, people to follow, we want to follow people that they want to tell others about Jesus Christ. If we're looking for leadership in the church, we want people that we think is going to tell other people about Jesus Christ. They are concerned about the gospel. If we're going to pick leaders, if you're going to pick people in the church, we think those people tell other people the gospel. What's something else? Humility. Paul was a humble person. He said a lot of the things that he did, but he was a humble person. We need to have humility in our life. You want to find people that are humble. You know, a good way to find out if somebody's humble or not, something that I've been convicted about, and it's really hard for a preacher, is not always have to carry the conversation. Humble people don't always, now I'm preaching, you got to carry the conversation. But when you go to somebody's house, a humble person will ask that person questions and be interested in that person. not in telling every story that they ever had. And every story that they have is kind of tells you, you know, have you ever heard a testimony in church? And by the end of the testimony, you're thinking, that was about them. About, you know, they were building themselves up. That's not humility. A testimony should be about God, not about, you know, me. You might tell something about what God did through me, but in the end, you should be that testimony should be pointing people to God. What else? Okay, he's a man of prayer. We should be looking. If you're looking for people to spend time with, people to follow, you should think that person prays. That person, I really think they pray. I really think they spend time in prayer with God. So, young kids, under 25, if you're spending time with somebody, if you're following somebody, do you think they ever pray? Do you think they're a witness? Do you think they're humble? Now, it's hard for somebody 18 or 16 or 15 to be humble, maybe. I mean, they maybe got to learn that yet, but are those characteristics of people you're following? People that you want to spend time with. What else? Something else. Okay. An example of that would be in the Philippian jail. I fail. I'll admit it, I fail here. That's one of those areas you look at me and you think, oh man, I fail. You know. But Paul was a guy that in the jail, he's singing praises. I'm convicted every time I think of that story. So easy to get discouraged. My wife will tell you, I'm the glass half empty guy. We were talking about this last night. I'm the glass half empty guy. You know what that means? Some people, the glass is half full. They're positive people. I tend to be a negative person. That's why my wife is with me, because she's the positive person. She tries to balance me out. God puts us together for a reason. She's always trying to encourage me. What else? You're missing a major, major thing. What did Paul go all over the world, known world, doing? Preaching the gospel. And part of that is to lead people to the Lord. And what was he accomplishing? He was starting churches. Let's put that together. What do we call that today? Missions. Paul had a heart for missions. If you're looking at leaders in the church, people that you want to follow, people that you want to emulate, they are people that have a heart for missions. They have a desire to reach the lost. They want to see the missions program of the church flourish. And we have work to do in our missions program. You know, I haven't been here that long, but ever since I came, I realized we need to put more emphasis into our missions, get to know our missionaries more. And Josh and I have already been talking about somewhat how we can do that. And we want to introduce some things to get to know our missionaries more. But if we don't have a heart for missions as a church, you know, if you ever have to go to another church, see if they have a heart for missions. That's the type of heart that Paul had. He spent his life trying to reach people with the gospel, start churches. And after he started them, did he just leave them and forget them? What did he do? He wrote them letters. He taught them. He went back and worked with them. So what was very important to him? Not just saving them, but what? Mentoring them, discipling them, growing them. That should be those types of things in our leadership. Those are key things. We need to develop those things. Sometimes we don't have those, but we need to develop those. We need to develop a heart for others. We need to develop a desire for missions. We have to develop a desire to reach out. One other that I'll just tell you, because I don't want to press you too much for it, but because not everybody thinks the same, but he had a passion for the Word of God, that I may know him. He had a passion to know Christ. So, young people, again, it's important, those who you're following, what are their desires? I'm not saying that everybody that's 16-year-old is going to be fully developed in their maturity for Christ. But is there any amount of passion for the things that Paul said, that Paul desired, that are important? Are there things in our life that, in their lives, that they see, these are important? Those are the type of people that we need to follow. Paul said, nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same things. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. I know that I was going to go through verse 21, and we don't have time to get through verse 21. And we'll cover those verses next week. But we should all have a desire to walk by the same rule. That's going to take conformity to the Word of God. If we're going to walk like Paul, it's going to take conformity to the Word of God. It's going to take discernment. Those who we spend time with, those who we emulate, those who we put in place of leadership, we have to say, is that their rule? Is that their standard? Or do they think like Paul thinks? Those that we put in our life. Young people, it's very important. who you spend time with is whom you may marry. Is that person going to take you down the right path? If you're a girl, you may be following your husband in marriage. What type of path is he going to take you down? If you're a young man, what type of people are you following? And what type of path? Where is it taking you? Where is it taking you? And if you're an adult, let me ask you the question. As I was preparing this, I'm sitting there thinking, man, I've got areas I need to work on. Because other people are supposed to be following me. And I fail in that. And I don't want to fail. I want to be that example. Parents, are you the example that your kids can follow? I know we all have areas that we need to work in. We all have areas that we say, oh, yeah, I'm a failure there. But, you know, one of the biggest things for your kids to see, mom and dad have changed in that area. Mom and dad have gotten to the point where they used to do this, and now that's changed, and I can see it. My dad changed certain things while we were growing up that I never realized, why did he do that, until later on, and I asked him, and he said, well, I got saved, and we changed those things because I had a new direction in life. I saw them as a young kid. I didn't understand them. Our kids should be able to see change in our lives. Your kids should be able to see, from 5 years ago, you are more mature in your Christian life, and they should be able to see that. Where are you in your Christian life? Lord, I pray that you'd help us all to continue to strive to become more mature Christians. Lord, help us to have a desire to become more like Christ and to be more conformed to doing his will. Help us to be people that would be good examples. Help us to be Christians that others can follow. Help us not to be content. Lord, for mature Christians are never content with their maturity level. Maybe we have attained a certain level of maturity, but there's always more to do. Help us, Lord, have just a desire to do that, to want to be more like Christ. Help us to love you and want to be, Lord, just a little piece of what you are like here on earth. Just a smaller copy, Lord, of what you are like. Thank you for all you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.